Hello, St. Mark. Hey, I hope you had an amazing Easter season this last weekend. I hope you were blessed by all the services that we did. And you know, I'm so excited that you're here with us today. We're actually starting a new sermon series on the book of 1 Peter, which, as I was reflecting today, has a lot to say to us right now as we're going through all that is. And I was thinking about, you know, really all that is. And I was thinking, you know, these last few months, or let's just be honest, this last year plus, it's just been pretty rough on people here in America, right? We've had a pretty devastating pandemic roll through town. We've had an election season that was one of the most divisively hateful that I can remember in all my lifetime. We've had Mother Nature rearing its ugly head in Texas. We've had impeachment attempts, it seems, over and over. We've seen the loss of truth in our media in epic proportions. We've had fires in California. We've had riots in Washington, D.C., and in really cities all across America. We've had a runaway national debt that nobody seems to be willing to deal with. We've had to cancel culture, right, joined by Facebook and Twitter and corporate America, now even the Major League Baseball. Gas prices are again moving higher and higher. And even with all those that have now gotten the vaccine, the coronavirus just continues, doesn't it? And it's still dictating, even though we seem to be so close, it's still dictating that we can't quite get back to normal yet. I mean, sometimes you just get the feeling, don't you? What's next? I mean, are we going to get tsunamis here on the coast in America? Is there going to be a major earthquake that's going to rock Phoenix? I mean, there's just enough bad news to make anybody discouraged from time to time. But this year's been a doozy, hasn't it? In fact, would you agree that sometimes discouragement can sort of become a universal disease? In fact, I think we've seen that this last year. It's just one of those things that everybody gets from time to time. I know that's true. We all get discouraged. But it's also one of those things that just seems to be, I don't know, highly contagious. For example, have you ever noticed that when you get around people that are discouraged, it kind of rubs off and, you know, you end up getting discouraged too? It's almost an inevitable thing just being around that kind of news, those kind of people. But the good news this morning is this. It's also a very curable disease. In fact, I've discovered an amazing truth over the years, and it's this, that what you focus on in life determines your happiness. And so if you're discouraged this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, or whenever you're watching this, because of all the stuff that's going on, I've got some amazing news for you. Because today we're going to begin a new series in the book of 1 Peter. And it's a short book, really. It's at the end of the New Testament. It's written by Peter. And it was written, though, specifically to discouraged believers. It was written specifically to encourage people who are hurting. In fact, in our passage today, it says, I know you're going through a few trials right now. Now, that was probably the understatement of the century when Peter was writing that, to be honest. Christians at that time were actually being fed to lions. No, not the Detroit Lions. They probably couldn't find anybody, but actual lions. They were being burned at the stake. Nero, Emperor Nero, burned Rome to the ground in 64 AD, and then he blamed the Christians. Genius, I guess. They were being tortured, it seemed, everywhere in the Roman Empire. They were being imprisoned. They were being thrown into the Colosseum and torn apart by wild animals. And Peter says, oh, I know. You're going through some light and momentary troubles right now. You're going through a few tough times. Fact is, in just a few years, Peter himself would be crucified because of these hard times. But he writes this letter to us, and maybe even to himself, so that even in the midst of these hard times, we might find strength to overcome. So today, I really want to talk to you about, as we go over the first 12 verses of 1 Peter this morning, what to remember when you're discouraged. For in this morning's passage, he says, when you start to get down, you need to focus on what is really good in life. In fact, if you're a believer, there are probably at least three things that you ought to never forget, ever. Three things you need to always remember when you get discouraged. And one of the first things that you absolutely need to remember is this. God has chosen you. He has chosen me to be part of his family. That's what he says in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. He says, dear friends, God the Father chose you long ago and knew you would become his children. I mean, what's he saying here? He's saying your salvation is no accident. God chose you long before you chose him. He knew all about you and he chose you anyway. It's amazing. He took the initiative. And here's the big takeaway from all of that. Your salvation is not a fluke. It was God's idea from the very beginning of time. Good News Version says this. You were chosen according to the purposes of God. Now listen to that, and it brings up a couple of immediate questions for me. The first one is, why in the world would God do that? I mean, why would God choose you or choose me to be part of his family? And the answer as you get into it is it's not because of something that we've done. It's because of who he is. Because he is a God of love. Because he is a God of grace. And the fact is that the more you understand that grace of God, the more you're going to be amazed by that grace of God. Why? Because God chose you. Now, did you deserve it? Not a chance. Do you deserve to go to heaven? Absolutely not. Are you good enough to be in his family? No. But he just chose you. And that's some pretty good news. But then I know I can see your mind working, right? You start to ask, well, on what basis did he choose you? Well, in verse 3 it says, for it is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that now we are members of God's own family. In other words, he's just saying it's based on God's mercy, not on your performance. Again, and I know this is hard to sometimes assimilate if you're just hearing for the first time, but the reality is that you can never earn your salvation. You'll never deserve your salvation. You couldn't work hard enough for it. You couldn't be perfect enough for it. It's just God's grace, that undeserved love, God's mercy that says, I want you to be in my family. The creator of the universe says, I want you to be in my family. That blows my mind. And if that doesn't encourage you this morning, then you better check your pulse, right? Because something's wrong. Notice too, he goes on to say, we are born again. And before, I used to not like that term very much. I kind of thought of radical people. I thought maybe it meant reincarnation or something. But the more I studied scripture, the more I realized that born again simply means getting a fresh start. That's all it means. Remember last week I said, have you ever been painting a room and you got about halfway through, have you ever thought, man, I just wish I could start over right now? Well, let me ask, have you ever been halfway through life and thought, I just wish I could start over? Well, God actually gives you that option. It's called being born again, getting that fresh start. It's not a new leaf, it's a new life. He says he gives you the privilege of being born again into God's family. Now, some of you are just barely hanging on by a thread this morning, and I get that. I know that some of you are deeply hurting because of stuff that's going on in your life. Some of you are facing a tough week. Maybe you're getting some test results back, or you're dealing with a huge relational struggle or a huge relational problem. And I just need you to know, if any of that's true, that you're not here by accident this morning. You're just not. Just as God chose you before you were even born, he brought you here today to watch this online. And he just wants to say this to you. He wants you to know that no matter what happens, God will always love you. Do you get that? No matter what happens in the rest of 2021, God will always love you. He will never stop because, again, nothing can stop him from loving you. No matter what happens in 2022, God will always love you. Love you. Maybe think of your mom and dad, right? I mean, no matter what you did, no matter what you've done in your life, hopefully mom and dad have continued to be there to just show you that undeserved sometimes, but just unconditional love. And if they haven't, know that God has. No matter what you've gone through in life, God is continually pouring his love out upon you. So that's the biggest thing. Just know that God's there for you, that he loves you no matter what's going on in this crazy world. And the second thing Peter shares with us this morning is this. God is working in your life. For not only does God choose you to be part of his family, but he says God is still working in your life even when you're going through problems. And remember what Paul says in Romans, working things for your good. And so even though you don't feel it at times, even though you may not feel God at all or that he's a million miles away, you're all alone. God says, I'm still working in your life. Notice in verse 2 what Peter says. And the Holy Spirit who has been at work in your hearts, cleansing you with the blood of Jesus Christ and making you to please him. Notice he says God's Spirit does two things inside of you. He cleanses you and he changes you. He's always molding in you, making you be more and more like God. Do any of you watch any of those design shows on TV, like HGTV, right? Well, I just want you to think of Jesus as the world's greatest interior decorator, right? He's always decorating you on the inside. He's working on you on the inside, even when you don't feel it. And there are two great benefits to having God work in your life. And in verse 2, it tells us what they are. Listen again. He says, may God bless you richly and grant you increasing freedom from all anxiety and all fear. He says there's two amazing benefits from having God work in your life. And the first one is this. He says, you are richly blessed. The Bible calls this grace undeserved love. Grace means I'm richly blessed because of God's undeserved love. And so what is a blessing? Blessing is when God gives you what you need instead of what you deserve. That's a blessing. That's grace. Second big thing here, you will have increasing freedom from anxiety and fear. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Bible calls that one peace. It's peace of mind that comes from trust, right? As a pastor, the deepest desire of my heart is that you would understand the grace of God and experience the peace of God more and more and more in your life. That's my prayer for you, just as it was Peter's prayer for these people. And I try to say it in 100,000 different ways. I do, so that you'd understand God's grace and that you would experience the peace of God in your life by trusting him with more in your life. But you say, oh no, Pastor, you don't know the problems I'm going through right now. I can just hear you saying it. And the reality is, I might not, right? But God always does. Look at what it says again in verse 1. You are not forgotten. God the Father has his eye on each of you. And so while it may be true that I don't know what's going on in your life, the reality is that God always does. And he always cares. And so here's the second mood lifter when you're discouraged. Not only that no matter what, will God love you, but no matter what happens, God promises to help you. He's working in your life, working for good in your life because you love him. Now, you may feel like the situation you're going through right now is hopeless, but because of Jesus, it's not. As long as you've got God, things are never hopeless because nothing is impossible with God. You may feel it's hopeless, but it's not because we have a living hope. Why? Because the tomb is empty. So no matter what happens, you can know with 100% certainty that God will love you. And then no matter what happens, God will help you. But there's a third thing too that Peter hits this morning as you're walking through life, and it's this. God has secured your future. Verse 4, he says this. And God has reserved for his children the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I have a computer in my office that I type all my messages on, right? And there's a very important button for me on that computer, and it's the undo button. And frequently, I'll hit something wrong, and I'll lose whatever I'm doing, and I just hit the undo button, and it brings it right back. It's amazing. But there's no undo button in God's computer. There is no way to reverse it. Once your name is in the book of life, it's in indelible ink. We call this election. And can you imagine if this weren't the case? Say God just wrote your name in pencil, and every time you sin, he'd erase it. Ah! Then when you confess it and get right with him, he'd write it back in again. Then the next time you'd sin, he'd erase it again, and every time you'd confess it again, well, he'd write it right back in. You need a pretty big eraser to do all that, right? The page would probably be worn through and through and through, but God doesn't work that way. When he writes your name in the book of life, he does so in indelible ink. In verse 5, it says, God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely. Now, is that good news? That is amazing news. But note the phrase here, in his mighty power. Because God will make sure that your assurance in heaven is not based on your performance. It's based on God's performance, on what Jesus did. It's not based on your ability. It's based on God's power. So God in his mighty power says to you, he will make sure. And so while I may lose my job, while I may lose my house, while I may even lose my health, the one thing I can know for sure is though no matter what happens, that I'm never going to lose my ticket to heaven, my salvation, unless I give it away. And God, by the way, says, don't ever do that. Now, I can just imagine as I'm saying that, don't ever give it away, you start thinking, well, what if I accidentally gave it away? Well, let me give you this. If that ever runs through your mind, immediately confess that to God. Receive anew his forgiveness. And know for certain that you're still written in his book. When I say give it away, it's a continually giving it away. It's a rebellion against God continually. It's a continually saying, no, we're not sorry. It's a continually saying, no, we don't want part of you. It's a continual walking away from God. It's really hard to do. And so if you're ever on the fence and just wondering, what if I accidentally did it? Confess it in that moment. Receive anew God's grace and be reassured. And so what is Peter's conclusion to all this? In verse 6, he says, this means tremendous joy to you, even though at present you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. In other words, he just says, don't worry, relax, and rejoice, because I've still got you. You may go through some tough times here on this earth. In fact, let's be very clear on this. You will go through some very tough times here on this earth. But in light of eternity, what you're going to go through, and compared to the reward for the testing of your faith, it is just so much greater that it will make the problems that you are now facing seem almost insignificant. And so don't ever lose your perspective, because while you may be going through some problems right now, always remember that God has chosen you to be part of his family. That God is still working in your life, even when you can't see it, behind the scenes, working for your good. And that God has secured your future through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that none of these things can ever be taken away from you. Your boss can't take it away. The government can't take it away. Satan can't take it away. Your enemies, your critics, they can't take it away. It is settled. So Peter concludes in verse 12, do you not realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Guys, go with the knowledge today that you are loved and forgiven by an amazing God. Know that love cannot be taken away from you. His power in your life cannot be taken away with you. Your election, your spot in heaven for all of eternity cannot be taken away from you. So rest in that joy. Rest in that confidence. You know, in Scripture, when it talks about hope, it's not saying, I hope the Lions are going to win next year, because that's a lot of uncertainty there. But that hope that we have in Scripture, that hope when it comes to God, is based on certainty. We can know these things are true. And because we know these things are true, we can look forward confidently. We can hope in seeing those promises answered. So let us pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the way that you love us, Lord. We thank you that so much of this salvation thing is not on us, because we blow it literally all the time. Thank you for forgiving us again and again and again. Thank you for giving us your Spirit to change us, to work just different things in our life that are more about you and less about us, that are more about right and less about wrong, that give us the confidence of seeing you and knowing that you are continually working even in the midst of hard times. And remind us that nothing can take away our salvation, that you've got us, that you love us all the way through our life. Let that be our confidence today, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, before I let you guys go today, I just want to give you this encouragement. First of all, let me just say, I am so proud of the way that you supported our church over this last year plus. I mean, it's been awesome, almost miraculous, to be honest. What you've allowed this church to do in getting online, and what you've allowed God to do in helping Holy Cross get to a better place, and what you're doing right now in the midst of those talks with Holy Cross and maybe providing a merger is just unbelievable. And so I thank you for continuing to support this place. And if we start rolling out of COVID, it's just going to allow us to do more and more and more things. And we're so excited about them and so excited to see everybody again. You know, as we think about that, though, I just encourage you guys to keep putting God first in the area of giving, to keep on putting him first, because he is doing miraculous things right now in this place. He has use for our church right now. And so just go with this encouragement to keep on keeping on all the way through summer and all the way into next year and then beyond that even, right? But just know that we are so appreciative and that we just see amazing things on the horizon. So go with that encouragement and with this blessing today. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Amen. Amen.